Pardon? The story I'm going to tell you about is about a little girl whose name was Deborah. And this story is shortly after Christmas, and she lived in a place where there wasn't a lot of rain around Christmas time, so you'll understand that she couldn't have been doing it here in Brookings, because she got a new tricycle for Christmas, and she lived kind of out in the area where there wasn't a lot of traffic, so she could ride her new tricycle up and down the sidewalk in front of her house. And on her tricycle handlebars was a funny little thing that if you pushed it like that, it went ring, 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 ring. So every time she passed her house, she would ring the bell. And her mother knew that she was going by. Well, this nice day, again, it was in Southern California. So the sun was shining, and Mother was outside in the backyard in the garden working, and Debbie was running her tricycle back and forth. Down the street, two doors down, was a brand new house that was being built. Now Mother had taken Debbie over there, and they'd looked at the house, and they'd talked to the people who were there. And the people said, well, right, and Debbie wanted to go through the house, and Mother said, well, we need to find out first if it's safe yet and if it's not going to be in the men's road. And they said, well, right now it's not too safe because there's so many pieces of wood laying around, and there's nuts and screws and bolts and hammers and things like that. So when we get it cleaned up a little bit better and we have some more walls up, you can come by and see it. Well, every time that Debbie ran down the street this way and back, she rang her bell, and then she went down by the house, and she looked at it, but she stayed on the sidewalk. She came back, and she rang the bell, and then she went back again and rang the bell. And Mother was so used to hearing that bell, and she was so busy with her, taking the weeds out and fixing the plants and things, she didn't notice. The bell hadn't rung. Now, what had happened the last time that Debbie went by the house? She went by that, and she thought, well, the workmen aren't there today. I won't be in their road, so I could just walk up to the door and take a peek. Well, she drove her bike to where the end of the sidewalk was, because they hadn't put the new sidewalk and driveway for the garage yet. So she left her trike out on the sidewalk, and she walked up to the door, and she looked in, and she looked over this way. But she couldn't see around the corner, so she just kind of stepped inside. The door wasn't there yet. She stepped inside, and she walked over to where the other room was and down to a hallway, and she saw some stairs that went up to the second floor. Now, the stairs were only carpenter stairs. They were ones that the carpenters were using, the men were using as they built. So it wasn't really safe for her to go up there. Had she obeyed what her mother said to do? What did her mother tell her about the new house? Should she go and look at it by herself?
No.
So she didn't do what Mother said, did she? Is it always good to obey what Mommy says?
Yes.
Yes.
Is it good to do what Mommy says?
Yes.
Well, there's a smile, so I think he understood.
Good morning, church. It's been a while since I've said that. You know, I feel bad because this last two Saturdays, for the first time in the 16 or 17 years I've been preaching, have been the first ones that I've missed because of illness, not due to the birth of my daughter or something like that. So it's been real tough. Evidently, though, I'm not the only one in Curry County that's had this. It's been a few people that have had it. So hopefully you'll stay healthy. Hopefully you won't catch anything if you haven't. And if you have, by all means, do get a lot of rest. And by all means, do stay away from people if you can. You know, certainly there's times that we can't do that. I just want to praise the Lord, though, because through it all, the Lord has really blessed, and He has been with us. One of our church members found out that the whole clan at our house was sick, and they brought us a nice little meal, and that was greatly appreciated. You know, there's only so many things I can cook. If you come to Soup Kitchen, you know what I can cook. So that was a great blessing, so we thank the Lord for that. This morning, I want to talk to you about Jesus being the door of the sheep. Pray with me as we start. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much again for your blessings, for being with us, for touching us, and for blessing us. As we spend time this morning in your word, we pray that you'll be with us. May Jesus shine forth in what we do and what we say today, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. John chapter 10, beginning with verse 7, which was read by Heidi, says, "Then Jesus said to them again," so this is the second time, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." Then he goes on to say, "All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out to find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." I think that the verse out of all of these verses that we are most familiar with is the last verse of this passage, which says, "I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." I think most of us have heard in one way or another, in one context or another, that verse, usually related to health. But I want to look at this morning because it's quite an interesting point where Jesus says, "I am the door." Not only the door, but the door of the sheep. Doors are necessary to any enclosure. They're important. I don't know if you ever thought about this, you know. Doors are very important to any enclosure. A room without a doorway is not a room. It's just a box. The absence of an opening is so silly, it merits no thought or discussion at all. Some doors are elaborate and some are simple. Some are ornate and intricate, while others are just plain and simple, functional. Doors and gates have been made from almost every known material: stone, wood, glass, various metals, bamboo, plastic, and many other stuff that people can figure out. I got a door in Isabella's room that's made out of cloth. She enjoys going through it. Doors have handles, hinges, removable panels or screens, door knockers, peepholes, and locks. And there are various kinds of doors: screen doors, storm doors, front doors, back doors, garage doors, gate doors, side doors, as well as doors for rooms, storm cellars, vehicles, and closets. You can imagine how many doors there are. The familiarity of this door idea is exactly what Jesus had in mind when he told his followers, "I am the door of the sheep." Building on what we know about doors and their function, we can readily see that Jesus was trying to say about himself and God's kingdom. So let's look at this idea again, where Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. So number one, Jesus is trying to explain this idea that there is no other way into God's kingdom than through Jesus. Can you see that in this text? Can you see that in this passage? There is no other entrance. There is no other way to walk in. There is no other window, no other hole, no other place to crawl in and out of. There's only one door into the kingdom of heaven, and that door is named Jesus Christ. Can you see that? Amen. That's what we're looking at. Jesus is the door. Now, doors are meant from coming and going, okay? You go into a room, you open a door, you go out of the room, you close the door. You do this back and forth. He says, whoever enters through me will be saved. Of course, I think most of us are looking for eternal life. We're looking for salvation. We're looking for the assurance and knowing that Jesus Christ is with us. And so we just have to walk through that door. And in order to walk through a door, you actually have to put in an effort. If you have a key, you have to take out the key, put it and turn it, and then actually turn the door and walk through it. You have to do that. You have to put of your part. You have to make a decision to go in. When I was a little boy, I used to take care of a few cows, about four cows. We're talking about sheep here, but cows are pretty much the same. Cattle drive or sheep drive, it's pretty much the same thing. And just like probably every other cowboy or cowgirl or a person that corrals animals, you always have one or two animals that do not like to go where the rest of the animals are going. And you usually have one or two animals that are quite stubborn as to the direction that they're all going, so they're trying to get away. So you know how it is, and you've probably seen it on TV. If you're driving three or four cattle, and two or three are going in the right path, and one is trying to go the other way, you're walking by, and you're going, shoo, shoo, go this way, or no, come back this way, and then you're trying to corral it to try to get it to the opening of where you want it to go. Animals obviously have to be directed and pushed in, almost squeezed in, if you will, to those entrances. But for human beings, you actually have to take the initiative of opening. Jesus, again, calls himself the doorway of the sheep. And I really like this because I think that if we take that analogy of cattle, not that we're cattle, not that we're sheep. It's simply an analogy. But if we take that analogy, and some of us may not fit the mold of where God is driving us. And we might turn around and say, God, I know you want me to go down that path, but you know what? Let me go this way. Right? I wanna find my own way. And we try to kind of go a different way. Now, Jesus, the idea here is that Jesus is the gate. He's the door. And the fact that Jesus is not stationary, the fact that Jesus does not have to remain in the same place is amazing to me because as the gate, as the door, he can get up and walk around and go where you're going and stand in front of you and say, okay, now walk through. Now, you may still say, you know what, Jesus, I would like to, but let me go back this way. And Jesus can come back and again stand in front of you and say again, okay, now walk through. You see, you can't get away from Jesus. He'll always be in front of you, but you have to make the choice. You have to make the decision to actually open and walk through. Jesus can stand in front of you, but he's not going to force you through the door. You have to make that decision. So Jesus is the door. Jesus is the entrance. Now, it's interesting to me that at the end here of verse 9, he says, if anyone enters by me, he will be saved. Then it says, and he will go in and out to find pasture. To find pasture. You know, when I was, again, a little boy and we had those cows, we would bring them into the night, during the night, so that they would be protected. No animal or wild animal could attack them. But during the day, we would set them loose. And they would go and walk around and find grass and find water and eat. And then come about evening, you know, when the sun is starting to set, then we would go out there and try to find them and bring them back. And we did that day after day after day. Jesus says, if you come into me, you will be saved, but you can also go in and out to find pasture. Kind of an interesting thought, isn't it? Because you would think that being with Jesus 24/7 would be the way to go, isn't it? Staying with Jesus, staying in a safe enclosure, staying within the gate, naturally would be the best place to be. But interestingly enough, that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, come into me, you will be safe. Now go out, find some pasture, and come back in. You see, when we come to Jesus, we are saved. We enter into the kingdom through the only door. But then Jesus says, go back out. Go back out. Because there are other sheep. There are others who need to come in. And the only way those others are going to find out is if you tell them. If you let them know. As a matter of fact, if you go to verse 16, again, still John chapter 10, verse 16 says, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. Them I also must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So the fact that Jesus says that you can come in and out of the pen, if you will, does not mean that you lose your salvation if you go out. You have to remember where home base is. And Jesus is always home base. That's where we come to roost, if you will. That's where we come for our protection. That's what we come for our re-energizing. That's where we come to be saved. Now, you and I know that we live in a very difficult world. And a matter of fact, it's getting more and more complex. You know, you heard the Vietnam War, the atomic bomb, the things that were going on in the 50s and 60s. There's been stuff that have been going on in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Now here we are in the 2010s. And things are just not getting any easier. And it's kind of interesting to me that, you know, as I read and as I see some of these programs, people in the 60s and 70s, and actually during any time, people were wondering, what in the world are we doing bringing kids into this world? What in the world are we doing bringing children into this world? And I think that at any point we can look at that. But the fact of the matter is that the world does not change. The world has always been difficult. The world will continue to be difficult, but there is one stable. There is one equalizer. There is one constant, and that is Jesus Christ. That's who we need to connect to. Everything else will take care of itself. That's the door. That's where we need to go. That's where we need to connect. And somehow, some way, we'll pray that our kids will find their way so that they connect with Jesus. And in turn, they turn around and tell their friends about it so that they'll have a connection with Jesus Christ. So doors are for coming in and for going out, but doors are also for protection and safety. As a matter of fact, there were two kinds of sheepfolds back in the olden days, about the time that Jesus was around, and people would have understood what he was talking to them about. About the time that Jesus was walking the earth, there were specifically, again, two kinds of sheepfolds. One was located in the center of the community. So the homes were around, and the sheepfold was right in the middle. It was usually made out of stone or wood. It had a nice gate. Everyone was around there watching it, very much protected, very much secure. But there was a second type of sheepfold. And this type of sheepfold was what they called a countryside sheepfold. It was not as protected. As a matter of fact, it was very modest, usually a stone wall or a fence enclosure of some kind. And it usually did not have a door or a gate. What would happen is, as the shepherd, again, there was only one shepherd in the countryside, maybe two or three would get together and kind of watch their sheep. But in the countryside, the shepherd would bring his sheep in to the sheepfold, and the actual shepherd himself would lay across or sit across the entrance of the sheepfold, so that as to no sheep could come out without him noticing, but most importantly, no animal, wild animal, could come into the sheepfold without him realizing that there was an attack taking place. And so this is the picture now that Jesus is projecting to his hearers. I am the sheep. I am the door. I am the shepherd. I am your protection. I am your safety. Now, to illustrate this even a little bit further, let's go to verse 11. This is, again, still John chapter 10. Now, verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Then he compares that, verse 12, to a hired hand. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, he sees the wolf coming, and he leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Jesus reiterates the idea, verse 14 again, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life, he says, for the sheep. You see, Jesus Christ is the ultimate shepherd. He is willing to fight anyone or anything to protect his sheep. Now, I don't know, again, you've heard the story of the boy who cried wolf, right? Now, I don't know if it's a true story. They've done several studies on it to see if it's a true story or not. But regardless of if it is or not, the whole idea was that this little boy was made in charge to keep an eye out for wolves. And so he's out there and he kind of gets bored. So, you know, as he's there by himself, kind of twiddling his thumbs and, you know, things are not happening, he cries out, "Wolf, wolf!" And as he cries out, "Wolf, wolf," well, everybody comes around and, you know, tries to see what's going on. And of course, when they get there, they realize that there's no wolf. Well, he does this two or three times before everybody realizes this kid's joking. There is no wolf. But sadly, the time that he cries wolf for real, the people don't take him serious anymore. You see, I don't know what you would do, or I don't know what I would do if I was out in the countryside and had sheep over my protection and I was the door, I was the defense against an animal that would come. We have stories in the Bible where David fought off a lion, killed a lion, killed a bear. We have stories of wild animals attacking. You may have read stories in the newspaper of mothers that defend their children against wild beasts. I don't know what I would do if a wild animal came after me and I had my sheepfold to protect. But the Bible tells us that the Good Shepherd, Jesus Christ, will go down fighting, will give his life to keep the sheep safe. In other words, there is nothing more important to Jesus Christ than keeping the sheep safe. Let me put it another way. There is nothing more important to Jesus than to keeping you safe. Now, Pastor, what does that mean? Does that mean that I'll never suffer any pain? Does that mean that I'll never suffer any sickness? Does that mean that I'll never suffer any problems? Does that mean that I'll never suffer any financial difficulty? I don't know exactly if it means all of that. But it does mean that Jesus Christ will do whatever it takes to save you into the kingdom. Whether that is with a bad back, with a cold, with an illness, with a tragedy, whatever it takes, Jesus will do whatever it takes to keep you safe. S-A-V-E. He is going to do everything within his power. So we have to understand, number one, that Jesus is the only, the absolute only way to God. There is no other. There is no other. Those that have come and said and have tried to be, they are nothing but thieves and robbers. He is the only way. Now, you may not be familiar with this, but there's a world mentality now that all roads lead to heaven anyway. And it's becoming very prominent. And to a sense, I think that the idea is, again, that Jesus is movable. He can change around. He can move around. But I want you to catch this morning that that's Jesus and nobody else. Nobody else. So as good as the apostles were, as good as Peter was, as good as Mary was. Let me come a little bit closer to home. As good as Ellen White was. As good as the pioneers. Let me come even closer yet. As good as your mom or dad. Or your favorite pastor. Or your favorite little church. Nothing. And I mean absolutely nothing gives you entrance into heaven but Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the way. If you enter that door, you will be saved. So being the fact that he is the only door, that means that every other door is a dead end. It means that every other door is not going to get you anywhere. And then the second implication to that is that that door, being Jesus, and we don't like to talk about this. We don't like to mention it. We don't like even the idea of it. But that door ultimately has to close. I don't even like to say that. But Jesus says that ultimately that door has to close. Now let's just think about this. And again, this is kind of gruesome and brutal in that sense. And again, I don't even like to talk about it, but it's reality. When does the door close? Can you tell me a couple of ways when the door closes? Number one is when you die. If you die, that door is shut to you, according to the Bible. You have to walk through that door while you still have life. You have to open that door and walk through it while you still have breath, the breath of life. So you have to make that decision. And I'm not trying to scare you, please. That's not what we're talking about. I know I've been sick for about 20 days. And there was a couple of times that I said, Lord, just take me home now. I felt so sick. Oh, it was so painful. You know, but when you die, that's when the door closes for you. The other way that the door closes for you is if Jesus, as mentioned in Revelation, stands up from his place in the most holy place and says, just like he said at the cross, it is finished. He who is clean, let him be clean still. Or we can paraphrase that and say, he who is in the gate is in the gate forever. And he who is filthy, let him be filthy still. Or we can paraphrase that by saying, he who is out for good. Again, I don't even like to talk about this because I don't like to even imagine that. I think that for me, I don't want to mess around with the last minute and what's going to happen. I want to walk in. I want to open the door and I want to be with Jesus. I want to have the assurance of walking through that door into assurance and security and salvation of Jesus Christ. Jesus still has other sheep that he has to bring in. Those sheep need to know that the door may close. Those sheep need to know that the shepherd has laid down his life for them, has given everything. As a matter of fact, because he's given everything, verse 17, therefore my Father loves me, is what Jesus says, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. Now catch this, no one, verse 18, takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and if I have power, and then I have power to take it up again. This command I have received from my Father. So Jesus Christ is not a weakling. Jesus Christ is not one of those barely put together doors that are barely hanging on. Jesus Christ is not one of those little doors that is going to open and close in the wind. Jesus Christ is not one of those doors that you're going to be able to just push through. Jesus Christ is not one of those doors that if you come around and just tap it with your car, it's going to plop over. Jesus Christ is the strongest of the strongest. He's the biggest of the biggest. He's the best of the best. Jesus Christ is God. Jesus Christ is human. And Jesus Christ has given all for you. He's given it all to make sure that you come into His safety, to make sure that you come into His salvation. He has come after you. The question is, will you choose to walk through? Will you choose to open that door? Will you choose to walk in? Pray with me. Our Father, what a privilege to know that You've sacrificed everything for us. And Lord, it just makes me feel so small, yet so important to know that You care so deeply for us. And so this morning, Lord, while every eye is shut, every head is down, I want to ask those that are here that perhaps have never accepted Christ into their hearts to be their Lord and Master. If there is such a person here right now, Lord, I want to ask that by a show of their hand, just between you and them, by a show of their hand, they will ask you right now to have you come into their heart and be the Lord and Master of their lives. Is there such a person here that perhaps for the first time they've never done it? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And perhaps there may be another individual here or two that for some reason, Lord, they took the going in and going out maybe a little bit one-sided, and they decided to go out and never come back in. Lord, if there is a person that has wandered away from You, Lord, we pray right now that You'll touch him and call him back. So again, with every eye closed and every head bowed, Lord, I want to ask a show of hand, perhaps of those that have walked away, just between You and them, nobody else, Lord. By a show of their hand, Lord, I want to ask if they're willing to come back into the fold and walk through the door, which is You. Is there any such person here that would like to come back? They've been out. Maybe they've walked away, but they want to come back. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And Lord, more importantly, for all of us here now, We want to walk in and out of the sheepfold in such a way that we attract other sheep to come in. So help us, Lord, to be missionaries in our own backyard to attract others to you and what it means to have salvation in Jesus Christ. Bless us to that end, for we ask it all in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Hey, I didn't have the opportunity to tell you, but Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Hope that this year will be a blessed year. I pray for our church that this will be a great year in which we can do a lot to hasten the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you as you go forward. Please come down. We have food. You can smell it. I know you can, because I can barely smell and I can smell it. So if you can smell, you know we have food downstairs. So please stick around and eat with us. May God bless you. We'll see you tonight. Those of you that are church members here, we'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock.